Greetings in the precious name of Jesus, the one who has called us, the one who has redeemed us, and the one we're here to worship together. And my heart was blessed and challenged, encouraged by the service here this morning. I sense the Spirit of God, the presence of God here. And yes, a very sweet spirit. You know, when we come into the presence of God, it's sweet. And yes, when we come, we can, it's such a beautiful privilege that we have to come together as believers and to lift up each other. You know, God knows the struggles, the challenges, the circumstances in each of our hearts and lives. God knows our physical struggles that we're going through. And I'm so thankful that he does. And I'm so thankful. You know, a number of the songs that we sang just a few minutes ago just ministered so deeply to my heart. Just the confirmation of knowing that God is with us. We never walk alone. That brings me a lot of hope and a lot of comfort. How about you? You know, we're reminded as we look around, you know, our life is very uncertain. And we have absolutely no promise for tomorrow, do we? We've been reminded of that this morning as our brother was sharing. And I just bless him so much and sharing his heart. And I just see the peace of God. You know, only God can do that. Only God can bring a peace in the midst of a storm. God will do that. God will do that as we follow him. And as we surrender our will to his will. And certainly that's a lifelong experience, is it not? It's a journey, isn't it? Yes. It's more than just a one-time commitment. It is a journey that we walk. And we walk it daily with the Lord Jesus Christ as at our head, leading us and guiding us and directing us. Have you ever wondered in your life, what is your purpose here in this life? What are you here for? Why have you been created? Does God have a purpose, a plan for you? Well, let me tell you, yes, he does. And I believe it's the God that gives us the life and breath. And as long as he extends life and breath to us, he also has a purpose and a plan for us. And I believe that when our work here on earth is done, he calls us home. And I was just also in a very personal way reminded of that this past week, last weekend, actually Friday a week ago, my aunt passed away. She lived in Ohio. And in fact, that was home for me growing up as well. And very pleasant memories of spending time there at my aunt and uncle's place there. And but a number of years ago, she had a stroke and was confined to a nursing home. And, you know, Elizabeth talked about going home. She was looking forward to going home. And, yes, God granted her that privilege. Last Friday evening, she went home. And Monday was a funeral. You know, we were there at the funeral. You know, no one had plans to be there at the Sharon Conservative Mennonite Church Monday morning at 10 o'clock. But God. So orchestrated by divine appointment that that's where we were that Monday morning. Actually, we were planning to be over in Delaware in a prison that Monday evening, but God had other plans. And, you know, so in life, you know, God has a purpose. God has a plan for each one of us. And this morning, I'd like to share just a bit of what God has called me to be involved in. And I believe this morning that... Yes, all of us have a call on our lives. God has a call on each of our lives. And you know what? Although I will be very free to tell you this morning, a part of my call is definitely back in behind the prison bars. And I so enjoy it. I am so, fulfilled when I have the opportunity to go and share back in behind the prison bars. Now, I also am assistant pastor there at United Covenant Mennonite Church there in Hendersonville, North Carolina, where we call home, and that's a blessing too, and that's a privilege to minister in that way as well. And So I'm involved as assistant pastor, and then I am full-time actually with Gospel Express as well. And I have the opportunity to share back in behind the prison cells. And I'm wondering, you know, how many of you have been involved in prison ministry in some time or other? Can I just see your hands? Oh, yes, a number of you. God bless you. And maybe at the end, when I get done here, I'm going to ask how many of you would like to be involved. Maybe God will spark something in your heart that you say, yes, you know what? I sense God calling me. And, you know, I'll be, let me tell you this right up front. You know, I'm not here to recruit people to come to prison. No, but I'm here to encourage you to be involved in reaching out, in sharing the love of Jesus wherever you're at. And I believe that as we fulfill God's call on our lives, you know, very clearly in the Great Commission, didn't Jesus make it very clear? Where he said there in Matthew 28, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. You know, friends, this morning I believe the call of God is on each one of our lives to be his instruments, his vessels in proclaiming the good news of the gospel. And, you know, I don't know what your thoughts are or what comes to your mind when you hear these verses in Matthew 28 on the Great Commission. I will confess that, you know, in years past, I have thought about, well, you know, it does say that we're to go to all nations. And I was like, okay, Africa, you know, China, wherever. But you know what? I believe it begins right here at home. I believe it begins right here at home. And unless you sense a call of God to go otherwise, why, God calls us right here. And it begins right here at home, where we're at, where God has us. You know, the opportunities that God puts in front of us every day to be his witnesses, to be his instruments, to be his vessels in his service. And you know, friends, this morning, I'm so thankful that Jesus didn't say, now you go and you be a witness for me. And you do it in your own strength. But he says, I will be with you. I will be with you. And I'll be the first to tell you this morning, I wouldn't get very far if I'd have to do it in my own strength and in my own ability. I'd fall flat on my face. But by the grace of God, by the empowering Spirit of God, each one of us, God can use in his kingdom work. You know, he calls us to be witnesses. You know, that's not a lawyer to argue or salesmen to sell, but it's witnesses to share what we've experienced. You know, people can't refute that. I've had people ask me, say, well, you know, you talk about Jesus and you talk about the Bible. Well, how do you know that that's the truth? You know, there's a group over here that's teaching otherwise. You know, this is the way to go and it's not the Bible. Well, I tell you what, I'm convinced it's the Bible that is true because I've experienced it in my life. I've experienced that transformation, and not only have I experienced it, but I see the transformation in the hearts and lives of so many other people. That proves to me that it's true, that it's for real, that it's genuine. And friends, this morning, I know that you've experienced it as well. I sense it in your spirit. I see it on your face. God puts the joy in our hearts, puts the smile on our face. And yes, so he calls us to be his instruments and his vessels. I want to take you back in behind the prison cells, the prison bars for just a little bit, the prison crusades, that we have the opportunity. We certainly don't take these open doors for granted. We have two annual crusades that we do. In December, it's in North Florida, and then in February, it's in South Carolina. And in fact, we've had the privilege for several different times, several different years, that Vernon and Darlene Ash have and their family have been involved with us there in South Carolina. And what a blessing. In fact, I think it was the first time that they came and were a part of the crusade. Frieda and I had the privilege of being with them. They would sing and share as a family. And I had the privilege of preaching after they had sang in it. Wow, what a blessing, what a privilege to share. And you know, It's you get a family back in behind the prison fences, and you get them up front to sing, and you know the inmates are like, you know, I've never seen a family, you know, intact, working together. And that in itself is a tremendous, tremendous testimony. And so not only do we have the opportunity to share worship services, but also one-on-one, back into lockup areas and in the dormitories, men in men's prisons and women into women's prisons. And as I look around here this morning, I see so many young people. Wow, I would welcome any of you young people to come and join us and be a part of the weekend. I will guarantee you, you will be blessed and you will be challenged and you will be encouraged. Well, not only young people, but I invite anyone, if you sense the call of God, to come and join us. We had, actually these pictures were taken in South Carolina, and we had the privilege in February to be in 27 different facilities, had 24 different ministry teams, 470 some volunteers that included the ministry teams that were involved with us there in South Carolina. We're so thankful for each person that has heeded the call of God to come and to be a part of the weekend there. You know, we couldn't do it by ourselves. We need others to come and join with us in that. And, you know, it's really a partnership, partnering together. Those that go in as volunteers go back in the dorms and share in very unique ways, and then ministry teams that come in for the worship service. And each part is so very important. And we thank God for calling people and for people responding to the call of God and coming in this way. Looking ahead in December of 2013, December 5 through 8 in North Florida, Mariana, Florida. And if someone would, like to come and join us there in Florida, we certainly could use some volunteers there. We have, in North Florida, there's quite a number of prisons, and they're inviting us to come with volunteers, but so far, we're very limited because of the numbers. The crusade is right the week after Thanksgiving, and so you keep that in mind. And this past year, we had like 170 some volunteers that were involved, and I believe 12 ministry teams as well. Looking ahead to 2014, Lord willing, in South Carolina, February 9 through 13, and certainly invite you to keep that in mind. And I welcome you to come and join us. My responsibility with the ministry is to work with the chaplains in working out the detailed schedules for the prison crusades. And a majority of my time is spent in the discipleship ministry. We have several seminars that we offer, anger resolution, bondage to freedom, and then the seeking him class. Bondage to freedom is probably the one that we use the most. It talks about forgiveness. It's a four booklet series. Book one is entitled Created for Relationships. And you know, as we recognize that, yes, God has created us for that purpose of a relationship with him so that we bring honor and glory to him, I ask you the question, for what purpose are you created? Why are you here on this earth for? Well, I believe bottom line is to bring honor and glory to God, to make Jesus look good. That's putting it in a very literal way. How do we do that in our lives? And allowing the fruit of the Spirit to flow from our lives, allowing the Spirit of God to work and move. And book one is entitled Created for Relationships. And certainly as a result of living in a fallen world, there will be broken relationships. And book two is entitled Broken Relationships. And then book three, Rejection. So often the result of broken relationships, there will be rejection and the hurt and pain that comes from that, and the bitterness and the anger. But you know, God has a plan. And his way of bringing healing to the wounds the hurt, the pain of broken relationships and rejection is through forgiveness. Forgiveness is the ointment that God uses to bring that healing. So wonderful to see how God touches hearts and lives. Just several months ago there in Florida, we had the privilege of sharing, it was actually in a women's prison, sharing the Bondage to Freedom seminar there, and there was a lady there that had held this unforgiveness and bitterness towards her father for over 40 years. And as she shared her story with us, she said at 7 years old, her father tried to kill her and her mother, and somehow they escaped. But she is very angry and very bitter at her father. Carried that for many years. Her father, on his deathbed, asked for forgiveness for what he did. And she said, I was so angry, I was so bitter, I just couldn't do it. And that was like 20 years, or 13 years, I guess. I think it was 13 years after the incident happened. She was so full of anger and bitterness, she couldn't extend that forgiveness. And as she went through the seminar, God touched her heart. She committed her life to the Lord, but was still struggling with that. And God touched her heart in a very special way. And that evening, as we talked about forgiveness, God so moved her, and she chose to forgive her father. And her testimony was, I'm free. God set me free. And you know, friends, it's not about you and me, but it's about the Spirit of God reaching down, touching hearts and lives, and setting people free through the Spirit of God. God wants to use us, you and me, as His instruments, as His vessels, to be His hands and His feet, proclaiming the good news of freedom through Christ. Anger Resolution Seminar is a seminar that is put together by Institute Basic Life Principles, and Bill Gothard is a speaker. It's a DVD presentation, and Bill Gothard is the speaker on the seminar. And so we do a session, and then we after the session, we'll talk about it and make it very practical. And the 9 subjects that are addressed, you see, are very practical to everyday life, and it covers a whole lot more than just anger issues. And a number of months ago, I had the privilege of sharing the seminar in Ohio, in a women's prison there. And about midway through the seminar, there was a lady came to me and said, you know, I didn't have any plans. I wasn't planning to be at the Anger Resolution Seminar. I didn't think I needed it. I didn't think I had a problem with anger. But somehow God compelled me. I just felt compelled to come, and I came. And she said after the first session, I realized why. First session, as you see, is entitled Discerning a Spirit of Anger. And I believe it's very possible for people to have a spirit of anger, not be aware of it. But God touched her heart, and she was able to find that freedom through Christ in releasing. And, you know, really, bottom line is what we want to do is turn that energy of anger into the power of love. And that is only done by the Spirit of God, by God working, moving in our hearts and lives. You know what? Probably one of the most common responses that we get from the seminar is that, you know, I should have had this seminar a long time ago. It would have saved so many problems in my life. And obviously in prison, there's a lot of people that end up there because of the anger and what they allow the anger to do in their lives. The Seeking Him class, the study is put together by Nancy Lee DeMoss, and it is really a personal revival study, and most commonly used in prison on a weekly basis with like a 12-week program. And so we have a number of volunteers that use that on a regular basis. They will take it in on a weekly basis, and it's a very practical study. In fact, we have a table there in the back. If you'd like to look at any of the literatures that we have back there, feel free to do that as well. And We just are so grateful for the open doors that God has given us to go and to share. The discipleship seminars in prison, and as God continues to open doors and bring others to help and to assist in the opportunities that God has put before us. 2012, we had the privilege of sharing 81 Bondage to Freedom seminars and 16 Anger Resolution seminars. And we had 23 different instructors and facilitators that were involved in the discipleship seminars. And I believe it's D.L. Moody that said, you know, I would rather train 12 men to work than do the work of 12 men. And I kind of agree with that. I kind of like that concept because I guess, you know, the older you get, maybe your energy level isn't quite what it used to be. And so we're so thankful for God providing and bringing us people that have a heart, a vision to share back in behind the prison bars. Bible study course ministry is also a very important part of Gospel Express ministries and sending out Bible studies into prisons, going, and those studies end up back in the lockup area where you and I sometimes can't go, but the truth of God's word goes. And we're so thankful for the network of graders that God has raised up. And I know we have a grader right here this morning and maybe several others. And anyone else here grading? I know the lady right up front here. I forget your name. Okay, yes. So thankful for your participation. And we're so thankful for the people that God has brought to assist in the work of grading. The Bible study course, Romans Bible study course is an excellent in-depth study of the book of Romans, and then the touch of his hand is a study on the Lord's Prayer. The GPS New Testament with Psalms and Proverbs has got also study outlined in it, an excellent tool to give to new believers and encourage them to get into the Word of God and study the Word of God. Jesus said in Matthew 25, "Inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." You know, friends, this morning, as I reflect on the words of Jesus there in Matthew 25, I was just, my mind was drawn to the setting there this morning as I was reflecting on that particular verse. I was looking at the setting where Jesus said that in Matthew 25. It was really, the setting was this. He was painting a picture of the last days, the judgment day as such. And in verse 34, Jesus said, "Then shall the king say to them that are on the right hand." In fact, let me back up and say this. He was in a few verses earlier. He says, you know, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, he's going to divide the sheep from the goats. And the righteous will be on his right side and the unrighteous on his left side. And then to those that were on the right side, the right hand, the righteous, he says this, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat, and I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in, naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me." Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee?" And the king shall answer and say unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." You know, and I, as I look at this setting here in this passage of Scripture, one thing that really caught my attention this morning as I was thinking about that is the fact that these people that were reaching out in the name of Jesus, they were doing it because they had a heart of love. They weren't doing it for recognition. They weren't doing it for brownie points as such. Because their response was, well, Jesus, when did we do this? When did we do this? And obviously, you know, sometimes, I believe, many times, God puts people in our path to maybe test us. And as our brother was sharing this morning, you know, sometimes on a work situation, you know, people test us and people rub us the wrong way. And it's, may I just be honest with you, it's kind of difficult to respond in the right way sometimes, isn't it? Yes, we're very human and we have this flesh to deal with. And, you know, I've wondered, you know, well, why is it that, you know, God allows those people in our path that just simply rub us the wrong way? And I remember very well a good number of years ago, I guess it was, there was a fellow on a, I was in construction, and there was a fellow, a supervisor, that he just had this, it seemed like he was a thorn in my side, just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And it was just a better day for me if BJ wasn't at work. It just made my day, go a whole lot better. But you know what? BJ showed up. And he was there day after day. And it was we were doing interior trim, and it was a pretty lengthy project there we were working on. So it wasn't just a couple of days, but it ended, you know, it was weeks. And I was not dealing with it in a very good way as a Christian. And by the way, I believe, yes, I was a Christian. And to my shame, I say I wasn't dealing with it very well. But I responded in anger and bitterness and was very, very unkind. And God spoke to me on that. And God dealt with my heart. And I had to repent. And I had to pray, God, you fill my heart with love for BJ. And he did. He changed my heart. And you know what else God said? Now I want you to go and apologize to BJ. Oh. How many of you like to apologize? Doesn't feel good, does it? Maybe it's hard on our pride, huh? But I did. I went and apologized. And, you know, BJ accepted it very graciously. And yes, he extended forgiveness. And he said, you know, I was wondering why you're so angry. He sensed the anger. You know, and as I reflect on this and I reflect on the words of Jesus there in the Great Commission, you know, he calls us to go and to be his instruments, his vessels in his service. And yes, I believe how it is lived out in our everyday walk of life is just that. Wherever we find ourselves today, yes. You know, it's a good time, good place here this morning in church. Why, everything's just fine, right? And but what about tomorrow morning when we're out there on the job and someone, you know, kind of crosses our path? What is my response? Am I a witness of the love of Christ? And that's a challenge to me, and God continues to work in my heart and in my life. You know, Jesus very clearly said, you know, that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. Well, that's pretty easy to do, isn't it? Well, certainly God has reached down, he's redeemed us, he's set us free, and we thank him for that redemption and for the liberty that he gives us and the peace and the joy that he puts in our hearts. But you know, what about this person that rubs me the wrong way? Well, if that person would just get out of my life, everything would be just fine. But you know, after all, I'm loving the Lord. You know, that's my key. I'm loving the Lord. But you know what, friends? Jesus went on to say, that's the first commandment, to love the Lord God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. But he said the second one is just, you know, goes right along with it. And that is to love our neighbor as ourselves. Ooh. You mean this fellow that's giving me a hard time? Yes. Does he deserve it? No. But you know what God wants to do? God wants to use you and me as his instruments and his vessels for his love to flow through us and reach out to that person that is mistreating us. In fact, Jesus said, if your enemy hunger, do what? Feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. You know, that's sometimes difficult, to reach out in love and kindness to those people that are the more difficult to love. But I believe that is what God calls us to. Yes, that is the great commandment. Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 7, he said, enter in at the straight gate. Yes, enter in at the straight gate. And he goes on to say there in Matthew 7, he says, you know, straight is the gate and broad is the way that, enter in at the straight gate. Verse 13 of Matthew 7. Wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Verse 14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. You know, friends, this morning I believe that God calls us not only to make the initial choice to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and surrender our hearts, our lives to him, but then as we live life, that we choose the narrow way, that we choose life. And you know, God has just been impressing on my heart that it's a daily decision that I need to make to choose life. You know, and I don't know what you think about, you know, obviously the verses there that Jesus gave in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, he pictures very clearly two roads. Two very distinctly different roads, a narrow road and a wide, broad and wide road. And I don't see a third way at all. I see either one or the other. And friends, this morning I believe very clearly that we are either on the straight and narrow or we are on the broad and wide. But you know what? I believe sometimes as well, maybe the broad and wide and the narrow road maybe don't run so far apart of each other. Think about it this way. Tomorrow morning, you and I as believers will be going to our jobs and fulfilling the responsibilities. And you know, the person maybe working next to us on whatever job that may be may not be a born-again believer and he's on the broad and wide road. So in a lot of ways, I think maybe the roads are just, not so far apart because we interact with people that are on that broad and wide road. And yes, we go to Walmart just like everyone else, don't we? But yes, the end is distinctly different. Yes, one leads to destruction, the other leads to life, eternal life, the glories of heaven, yes. And ultimately, that's where we're all headed for. That's what we're looking forward to, isn't it? Yes, indeed. But as we live our life, God calls us to be his instruments, his vessels in his service, and to reach out, to be his witnesses. And I believe that is a picture that I get very clearly of Jesus' instructions there on in the Great Commission there in Matthew 28. We're to make disciples. We're to be his witnesses. And that means in our everyday walk of life. And a challenge that I've been challenged with and I want to share with you this morning. How am I doing in my everyday walk of life? Am I that witness for the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I demonstrating Christ to the world? I asked you the question early on, for what purpose have you been born? What purpose are you here in this life? I believe bottom line is to bring honor and glory to God. And I believe that is the way we witness, as we bring honor and glory to him, as we allow the Spirit of God to lead us, to direct us in our everyday walk of life, whatever our journey may be, whether it's going and ministering back behind the prison fences, or whether it's in an office ministering to the hurting, the needy, whatever, that come to you for direction. Or maybe it may be the person that you meet in the Walmart parking lot. Several months ago had that occasion where we're preparing to head to a prison. I pulled into a Walmart parking lot and just to get my materials ready, and just the prison was just a few miles down the road, and I stepped out of the motorhome to get my materials and all that, and a fellow come walking up to me. You know, I've got some things I need to do, and yes, we need to leave in a little bit. Isn't it amazing how that timing works? You know, I could have said, well, I don't know if I have time to talk to you, but God just impressed on my heart, this is important, you talk to him. And there's a person that was very much in need, a very needy person. I've been through a lot of hurt and pain in his life, and through some very bad choices that he made in his life, separated from his family, living basically out of a car, out from place to place. And just to be able to share with him the love of Christ and to pray with him. And yes, give him one of those GPS Bibles. And I just asked him, would you read it if I give it to you? And he said, yes, I will. And so, you know, not that I have it all together, because there's many times that I've missed those opportunities. And I regret those times that I've missed. But God gives us those opportunities. What are we doing with those opportunities that God gives us? You know, life is a choice. We have so many choices, so many decisions that we make in life. And yes, as we choose life, as we choose the narrow way, we choose life. And you know, sometimes we find in life, it's not so much the decision between right and wrong, but it's the decision between good, better, and best. And the bottom line is, what is it that is best? What is it that God would have me to do? What is it that he would have you to do? How would he have you to reach out right now, right here, today? And as we leave here in a few minutes, and wherever, however, God gives those opportunities to us, my prayer is that we be sensitive and we be his instruments, we be his vessels. And I believe that that is what brings honor and glory to God. And Jesus said in John that we, as we bear much fruit, this is what brings honor and glory to the Father. In simply allowing the Holy Spirit to bring forth his fruit in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the goodness, the faith, the meekness flowing from our lives. Yes, that is what God would desire of each one of us. I just thank you so much for your support of the ministry, and this past weekend. God has blessed us with such a beautiful weekend, weather-wise, and yes, we thank you for your prayers and your financial support. And as you think of us, just we welcome your prayers. And you know, it's about God's word going forth. It's not about me or Gospel Express or anyone else, but it's about the truth of God's word going forth and touching the hearts and lives of people. You know, I believe truly we are in the last days. You know, Jesus said, I will come again. And yes, one day those clouds will roll back and Jesus will return. But you know what? He may come for us individually. We have no promise for the rest of the day, do we? We may not even leave here, and one of us may be called home. But what is important is that we're ready to go to meet him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth that sets us free. Thank you for the power, the transforming power of your word. And Lord, thank you for this congregation Lord, thank you for each person that is here this morning. God, I know and I believe that you have a purpose, you have a plan for each person that is here this morning to be your instrument, to be your vessel in your kingdom work. And God, I pray that you would give direction, that you would give guidance. And Lord, may you give all of us soft and pliable hearts to say yes to you, to your Spirit, as you lead us, as you direct us. Lord, we love you and we honor you. God, just pray a special blessing on the leadership of this congregation. Lord, may you give much wisdom, much direction. God, that this church here would be the salt and light in this community where you've called them to. Lord, thank you for calling them and, Lord, for using them. And Lord, may you continue to be honored and glorified through the congregation here. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.